Well, good morning. If you want to, if you would like to, turn in your Bibles, Matthew 7. I know that's a big surprise. So I have had a busy couple of weeks, and realizing that ahead of time, I realized I would have to write part of this sermon at creation, in the middle of all that creation is. So if some of it comes across cantankerous, please know that I was hot and sweating. Have you ever been so hot and sweaty when you're not doing anything and you're sweating profusely? Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting there sweating. That's ridiculous. And so if I'm cantankerous, just know that's where it comes from. That being said, I believe everybody should have at least one person in their life that makes them question whether they will remain a Christian that day or not. So the following people are on that list for me. I'm just kidding. I don't need to have a list. I have children. And they need Jesus so that I don't send them to meet him. That's why they're not paying attention to me currently. I am mostly kidding. In order to be a good father, I searched the internet. I found this amazing Lego set online, and it was like a third of the cost. And so I ordered it for my son's birthday, who loves Legos, and if I ever want to not see him for a number of hours, he'll play Legos in the basement. I don't even know where he was. He's just down there. He loves them. And so I ordered this Lego set, and it was for his birthday, except it didn't come on his birthday, unfortunately. And it didn't come the week after his birthday either. And a matter of fact, it didn't come the week after that. And so he learned this amazing lesson about patience. And he knew what it was going to be. And so this poor, anxious child and his very weary father, because he showed him what it was going to be, tried to come up with a solution, and so the solutions were buy a different one that would have cost a lot more money, the other solution would have been to buy the same one because it's going to make the first one come quicker. And don't ask about the logic on that one. That wasn't my idea, but that was another solution. And so we landed on this solution, which was my favorite, which is do nothing. And just wait. And so when it did come, it was really awesome. It's this awesome train set, and it like actually moves itself, and it's Lego. It's really awesome. And I tell you that because even I, being a bad father compared to God, know what is good for my child. And so with that being said, let's read out of Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Father, I just ask this morning that you would just calm my heart and my mind so that I can speak what you have for us this morning. God, I just thank you for each person here. I just pray they will open their hearts to hear what you want to tell them, what you want to speak to them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like a prosperity gospel message in the beginning there, right? Yeah, let's talk about prosperity, God. Let's do that. It is. It's a mid-90s RX-7 twin turbo. That is my midlife crisis car. I'm holding out for it. I'm not sure how old you have to be to have a midlife crisis, but I'd like to have one soon. I did throw a Porsche 911 on there for my father's midlife crisis car. He's still waiting for his, so I feel bad if I get mine first. So I'm waiting. But that is actually not what this message is about. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is an ask God for whatever you want, and you'll get it. But I do believe that this message is that God desires to meet us, to be in relationship with us, and to even give us gifts. But see, I don't live a life like that. I do the good Christian thing, and I live a life of poverty and humility, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Because God loves the beggar more than he loves the prince. But that's not true. Oftentimes, we will find ourselves not asking God for things because we're afraid it's going to bring on pride. You know, if he actually answers the prayers and gives me a mid-90s RX-7 with a twin turbo, well, then that would bring pride into my life, right? But he says to ask. And if he talks to me and he tells me he loves me, that's wrong because, well, maybe he doesn't talk to everybody. But he still tells you that you're supposed to seek him. And if he loves me despite all of my sin and all the times that I've messed up today, and he's still excited to spend time with me, well, that's wrong because I should wallow in my unholiness and my shame, right? But he says to knock and it'll be open. There's an intensity in this message of ask and seek and knock. You see, ask is a verbal thing. It doesn't require much of us unless you have to stand in front of people. But generally, speaking doesn't require a whole lot. You don't get a whole lot of things on your Fitbit for that. You don't burn a whole lot of calories. To seek is to be very intentional, and so it's ramped up. There's another level to it. There's another stage, and so that's the next level of seeking. Is you're doing something intentionally. You're seeking something out. You're looking for something that God has laid out for you to knock. Well, now you're going to do something. Now I physically have to be active. I have to move my arms. I have to do something. I have to pound on a door to make sure that the person on the other side is hearing me. God, do you hear me? I need something. Open the door. And so each one is a different level of intensity. But these commands are not just levels of intensity, but they're one step further. They're actually in the Greek imperative, which means to continue. So it's not just ask, but it's ask and keep asking. So once you've received it, ask again. Ask for something else. And not just to seek, but the tendency is, oh, well, I sought, I found it, God answered my prayers, and so I'm done. And God says, don't do that. I want you to seek me out, and then I want you to keep seeking and keep seeking and keep seeking and finding and finding and finding. And I want you to knock. And when I open the door to you, I want you to go and to find the next door and to knock on that door and pound on that door and seek it out and pound and wait for it to be open because I'm on the other side and I'm waiting for something. I know the tendency. You may say, wow, that sounds tiring just to even hear that. That's an awful lot of work. And you may feel like you don't want to press into that and that you may want to quit. And I get that. I'm tired, God, and I don't want to, and I just want to take a break. And I'm telling you, don't do it. Push in. Push in harder. I understand what it is to walk that path because in the beginning of June, many times in my life, but the beginning of June this year, I just needed a break. I needed to put God on the shelf for a few days. I was going to get him back down, don't worry. But I needed a break. And I started to back off and I just needed a breath and a pause. And you know, the problem is that when you're not pursuing God, you are pursuing something. Because we're always pursuing something. And those things started to filter in. And one night I was like, oh, you know, I should work ahead for my sermon. I should at least read the verse, right? I can at least read the verse. And so I began to read the verse. And when I went for a walk that night, it hit me of, Ryan, you have backed off. You have stopped pressing in. You've stopped seeking out what I have. And in that moment, I thought God was going to be mad at me, and he wasn't. And if you're young in the room, and we have our fifth graders joining us now, look at me. Let me see your faces, your eyes, or if you just think you're young. You may not be listening to this, and you may be tuning me out, and I get that. That's fine. Because who wants to listen to more adult drudge? But listen to me for one second, because God is waiting for you. This is not a mystery. This isn't for old people or mature Christians. This is for you. God has treasures for you. God wants to talk to you. He's waiting to commune with you and to have a relationship with you. And he's waiting to be in your face and to know you. And he's waiting for you to knock and to seek. And he has gifts for you. And Jesus wants to spend time with you. So it's not just for the older people in here. Somehow we want to live in a place where God is hard to find and we don't know what his will is for our lives. And so we just wander on and, oh, everything is such a mystery. And I'm here to tell you, nope, that's wrong. Because the verse says everyone that seeks receives, and everyone that asks hears, and everyone that knocks, the door is open. There's no but in that. And you have to understand something. Not only does it say it, but it's a command. God is saying, if you do this, I will do this. And so God holds true. And you may say, well, Ryan, my life is very busy and I just don't have the time for that. And I understand that, and I had that thought, and God said this back to me. Don't expect God to invade your busy to reveal his kingdom to you who knows nothing about it. Let me read that again. Don't expect God to invade your busy to reveal his kingdom you know nothing about. So you see, God won't do that. He won't invade your busy. He'll leave you there until you realize you need him again. And that's where I was. The main reason I thought I needed a break is because I was so busy and I had everything else going on and I have so much to plan for. God, don't you know how hard it is to take teenagers to creation and go camping? It's not in comparison. We had a camper. It was awesome. I had air conditioning some of the time. But I was so busy planning everything, I forgot the one that has invested the most in me. And so I snapped out of it. As I was feeling guilty and walking and beating myself up for this, putting God on a shelf, I thought of a story. I have a daughter who's amazing. All my kids are amazing. Okay. All right. But I have a daughter, and she's just different, that's all. She's just different in a very awesome way. And for whatever reason, over the past how many months, she does not like water anymore. I don't know what happened. If she goes in the bathtub, someone has to join her. It doesn't matter. She just doesn't like it. And so off to the beach we go, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to go well. And so the first day on the beach, she is clinging to Emily and just yelling at the boys. She's a little bossy, too. I'm not sure where she gets that. Yelling at her brothers to come back from the water. It's not safe. Come back. Get away from the water. And they're completely ignoring her because they're having a great time. And so I made the decision. I'm like, all right, we have got to break this. Like, she is freaking out. She is like 30 feet from the water. She's not even close. And she's freaking out. And so I sat with her in the sand, and Emily, we took shifts. And Emily sat with her, and the whole time I was sitting with her in the sand, I just kept telling her the same thing. Trust Daddy. Daddy won't let anything hurt you. Trust me. And so she let me carry her, and she let me get close to the water. Not all the way, but close. And so it was good, and after a few days, we started to chill out a little bit, and even when the water came rushing up, we didn't run away as quickly. And then we decided to go to a water park, and it started all over again. And there is nothing more humiliating, I think, than standing in 1 foot of water and having a toddler try to climb onto your head to get away from it, as what she was doing to Emily. And I'm laughing because it looks hilarious. And she's standing in literally a foot of water and crying that she just wants to go home. And so I was like, well, Emily, let me try. And so I took her and slowly just introduced her to the water. And about a half an hour, 45 minutes later, she's playing in the water and having a great time and loving life. And it's a foot, so it's only up to her waist. So she literally has to bend over just to get wet, right? And she's having a great time. And the whole time, the only thing that kept coming to my mind was, trust Daddy. Daddy won't let anything hurt you. I'm not going to let you drown. So slowly and carefully, she got used to it and ended up having a really great time. Some of you this morning are in the same place. You have no desire to seek. You have no desire to knock. You have no desire to ask because you're afraid of what is on the other side of that. You're afraid that your Heavenly Father is going to speak back to you condemnation and guilt and things that you've done wrong. And you're afraid that if you seek out treasure, that you're going to find things you don't want to do or things that you were hoping not to find. And you're afraid to have that door open because what if it means something I don't want to do? What if it's something I don't like? That's not who your Father is. Trust Daddy. He won't let anything happen to you. Have the faith to do it. And I know that's easier for me to say, or you think it is, but I have walked that out. I know what it means to be in that place where you don't want to know what's on the other side because it's scary. And it might mean change, but you're called to do it. As the worship team comes up, I want to pray for you this morning. Especially if you are in that place where you don't want to seek out and you've put God on that shelf, maybe just for the summer, right? It's hot out, God. Just for the summer. So if you would close your eyes and just bow your head for a moment, and I'd like to just pray for you. Father, you are a good God. And God, I want to trust you, but that's not always the easiest thing to do. And I know you have good gifts, but I don't know what they are, and that's scary. And I want to knock on the door, but I'm scared of what's on the other side of it. This morning, Father, we press in. God, I ask for each heart just to hear you this morning. Speak to them. God, I know that you don't want to bring them condemnation or guilt or remind them of their pain. You want to bring them love and how you care about them and how you want to lift them up and walk with them. God, as you met me on a hot night in June, I pray you will meet each person in here. Meet them where they are. Let them know exactly what you have for them. Open the door to them and let them see the first things that they're going to see, which is your open arms. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for being good. We trust you, Daddy. Amen.